Jesus, an Obedient Son, by Michael Phillips. Introduction. The Man on Everyone's Mind. No name is familiar to so many as the name Jesus Christ. Familiar, yes. Understood? No. Two words. Known but unknown. Enigmatic. Mysterious. Few men and women know very much about the man Jesus, who walked this earth almost exactly 2,000 years ago. Most know scattered facts about him, details chronicled by his biographers, overlaid by traditions and religious teaching passed down through time. But the why that brought him among us sadly remains veiled. That is not to say we haven't tried to know him. His brief walk across the pages of time reverberated with such force that it might be likened to the Big Bang of human history. Nothing literally since the foundation of the universe itself set off such titanic explosions of change, and the effects have not stopped in 20 centuries. Yet when the brief 33 years of his life are examined at a glance, one finds no explanation for such global and permanent repercussions. On the surface of it, the evidence reveals little more than an itinerant carpenter preacher from an obscure village in a remote and insignificant corner of the world. Nothing about his subsequent impact makes sense from his biography when interpreted through human eyes. He did not travel. He was not highly educated. He did not write. He was not a political force. He mounted no coup. He had no army of followers. In fact, he conspicuously did what he could to prevent a mass movement from building up around him. His teaching was neither complicated nor inflammatory. In large measure, the message that drew people to him could be summed up in the words, "Love God and be nice to those around you." In the end, he was executed as a common criminal. Wherein that is the power to shift all history? What can account for it? These many whys ultimately reduce to the simpler, but perhaps more probing question of who. Who was this remarkable being who influenced an entire planet? Because once he walked out of the grave, the question of who suddenly overshadowed all the facts of his prior biography. For 2,000 years, most people haven't quite been able to figure out the answer, but the whole world is intrigued. Was he really God? Everywhere one turns, this fascination is evident. Whether believers or not, people are drawn to Jesus by a magnetic pull unlike what they feel from anyone else. In an offering for a secular book club I was perusing only moments ago, 10 of the books listed out of 100 or so directly or indirectly concern the man Jesus Christ and his unprecedented impact on history. No other figure was so prominent. The Christ curiosity is almost a passion in the Western world, though largely an invisible one. We tend to categorize the obsessions of modern Western culture under such headings as money, sex, entertainment, leisure, and so on. However, I am convinced that an unseen, silent fascination with Jesus Christ also ranks right up near the top, in the secular world as well as the spiritual. It lurks below the surface, influencing people in ways they never dream of. Jesus is on everyone's mind. When a man slams a hammer onto his thumb with full force, when anger rears its head and suddenly a shout of profanity bursts from the lips, when an exclamation of shock or surprise is registered by an unthinking epithet, when careless tongues bandy about a name to punctuate speech for emphasis or deprecation. To whom does the world turn with its curses, loose talk, and oaths? Such invectives are not usually shouted out with the words, Adolf Hitler, or Julius Caesar. One never hears the names Napoleon, Buddha, or Genghis Khan used for no reason in the midst of low and debasing speech. As a boy, I recall hearing an irritable bus driver swear at my mother for being a little slow getting three tired children onto his bus when we were trying to find our way through San Francisco late one night. But his words were not, "Alexander the Great, lady, hurry up." When at the end of life's rope, with no place to turn, when despair is total and everything seems hopeless, do people sink to their knees in the despondency of aloneness and whisper, "Martin Luther, please help me"? In all these situations and circumstances that we observe about us every day, it is Jesus who is on the tongues and in the hearts of the world's men and women. It is Jesus to whom the lonely and disconsolate cry. It is Jesus whose name one hears everywhere, from locker rooms to boardrooms. It is Jesus who is as likely to appear on the cover of Time as the magazine's Person of the Year. Why? One might say that such responses are mere habit, that they reveal nothing of significance. But I think there is more to it than that. Why is Jesus the focal point of such habits, rather than Muhammad, Gandhi, or George Washington? Something deeper is going on. Why is Jesus, even if subconsciously, on the minds of bus drivers, high school students, priests, senior citizens, pastors, Christians, Jews, Muslims, atheists, the editors of magazines? Even those who might not believe he ever lived at all, or who care nothing about him, Jesus is on their minds too. He is the man on everyone's mind. As a result, more has been written about him than any other human being who has ever lived. But as curious as we are, the multitude of books and articles, thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands, has in fact accomplished little to reveal him. The meaning of his life remains a mystery to many. What then can unlock the mystery of that solitary life lived so long ago in ancient Palestine? One of the most important factors enabling me to do so is simply this. I try to read the gospel account as an eyewitness, as if I am actually there and am caught up in the drama myself. Sometimes we have to go back to the book and read it afresh, as if encountering the man Jesus for the very first time. I would like to propose, then, that you and I do just that here together. Can we shake free from our preconceptions and read the gospel as if we have never heard it before, as if suddenly Jesus appeared in our day, in our time, in the midst of our lives, saying and doing extraordinary things? I propose that we find a way to get inside the account, to get past the text, past our familiarity with various passages and parables and teachings, past the historical document. It isn't even enough to try to read the story as if we are there. I hope we can find a way to actually be there. In other words, to put ourselves into the story and to bring that story alive right now in the midst of our contemporary lives. I propose that we read the gospel as modern-day eyewitnesses. Can we, in fact, not merely read the startling words that fell from the lips of Jesus, but can we actually hear them by our own participation in the incredible drama that turned the world upside down? Can we experience the immediacy of that impact as he walked along the seashore of Galilee, through the countryside of Judea, into the fateful streets of Jerusalem, and ultimately forward through history into the present-day world where we live right now? If we can do so, the name Jesus Christ will never be the same again. Michael Phillips, Eureka, California. From Jesus, an Obedient Son, by Michael Phillips. Read by Michael Kimball. More information on this and similar writings may be found at fatheroftheinklings.com. Visit Amazon to purchase Jesus, an Obedient Son, and other books by Michael Phillips.